going to go ahead and believe that you and I have a lot in common tonight because we have the Holy Spirit deep in our hearts. And God Almighty has saved souls for 2,000 years through faith in the risen Lamb. And so I'm going to assume you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that what I'm going to speak to you tonight, preach to you tonight, will resonate deep in your souls. I'd like to, first of all, introduce to you the understanding that there are a lot of people tonight that are going to go through a lot of storms in Florida and in the Caribbean, and maybe even as far west as Mississippi. My son is at Biloxi. He's in Air Force Tech School right now in Biloxi, Mississippi, and he's learning, believe it or not, how to be a weatherman. So it seems like they have a good lab to check out this storm heading west and the north. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he is able. And a lot of these folks are going to come out the other side of the storm, and they're not going to be happy with what they've experienced. And there's going to be some people that are going to wonder if God does anything, but watch. I think about a storm that Jesus' disciples went through. You're in Psalm 46, but I'm thinking about Mark 6, where he says in verse 48, it says that when he saw them straining at rowing. You're in Psalm 46, I'm talking about Mark 6. And it says that he watched them strain against the waves, okay? And, you know, a lot of people might think, well, does he do anything but watch? I mean, a lot of us would concede the fact that God does watch. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. We would agree God does a lot of watching, amen? I mean, he sees everything. And we would also say that God does a lot of waiting. And people are wondering, does God do anything besides watch and wait? I mean, he waits until the fourth watch of that particular storm to come and help some disciples that he actually sent into the storm. That doesn't seem like that's in keeping with the character of God. But the reality is, it is in keeping with the character of the God of the Bible. Unfortunately, it is not in keeping with the character of the God of the Americans, who concocted God after their own choosing. It's a God that has no problems with any lifestyle. It's a God that has no problems with any person. It's a God that really, honestly, is nothing but a therapeutic bellhop from the sky. And so we wouldn't argue with the idea that God does a lot of watching. We wouldn't argue with the idea that God does a lot of waiting. And some people think that God does a lot of wandering. Like, he's in everyone else's life. He's not always with me in my storm. A lot of people would wonder if he does anything but watch and wait and wander around. We don't argue with the idea that God does a lot of watching, a lot of waiting, and a lot of walking to and fro, 2 Chronicles 16:9, throughout the whole earth to look for someone whose heart is perfect towards him. Amen? We know that God does that. We don't argue with that. We know God does that. We exalt the God of the Bible. He does a lot of watching, a lot of waiting, and a lot of walking around looking for people. It's amazing, really. Isaiah 64:4, another great verse. The world hasn't seen, I think D.L. Moody was the one who said, the world hasn't seen what God will do with one man wholly devoted to him. And that's Isaiah 64:4. God is looking, to be sure. He is watching, waiting, walking. And we would even say that God whispers through his word. The problem is that this usually happens. Probably none of you know what the internet is, right? Okay, maybe. How about social media? You ever heard of things like Facebook? Yeah, probably, right? Facebook, Twitter, all that kind of thing. Probably you're aware of these things. Even if you're not allowed to say you are, you probably are. And you know a lot of Christians who probably do a lot of yapping through social media. And you would wonder if their God is impotent by the way that they use their free time, whether or not they want to exalt the Lord. And I will say that we have to admit that God does whisper through his word. And oftentimes, those really famous verses come out through bumper stickers, through social media, through t-shirts. And Christianity is often reduced to a slick verse that everybody knows, or even a sign held up behind some goalposts at football games. But is that all God does? Does he just keep his distance? No, he doesn't. And in our psalm tonight, Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Do you understand tonight, my brother or sister in Christ, that that is a choice? We will not fear. I need you to understand that that is a choice. Do you understand that if Preacher Joe got up in front of you and said, I hope you folks, and now this is not true, but if he got in front of you, dear folks, and said, I hope you all understand, I just have this awful problem with driving drunk. I know you'll just forgive me because it's just my personality. It's just my personality. I just drive drunk. I mean, I get thirsty. I get anxious. I have a lot of hours on the road. And sometimes I pull over and sometimes I drink too much. But please don't judge me. It's just my personality. Now, of course you would never let that happen, right? He's a man of the cloth. He's the man of God. He's the pastor. Of course you would never let that happen. But somehow we have an entire age of Christians that say crazy things like, I'm just a worrywart. That's just me. That's just what I do. I just worry all the time. Please don't say anything to me about it. It's just kind of like my little pet. I just worry. Here, we're told by the sons of Korah in Psalm 46, not David, the sons of Korah, we will not fear. We're making the conscious choice to not fear, and anything south of not fearing is sinning against the Lord. It calls into question whether we really do believe that God is our refuge and strength, but we keep reading. We will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. All right, earth, Genesis 1, is not the globe. It is the dry land that comes out of the water on day 3, right? So if we were to read that back into verse 2, we will not fear, though that dry land slides into the sea, and the mountains follow them. Even then, we will not fear. We're making the choice to not fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Oh, but look at the next phrase. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Selah is a great word. It means let the piano play and you all just think about it. It's a rest. It's a musical term. It's an interlude. It's when usually everyone turns around and shakes hands with the visitors, right? In this psalm, it means, don't move. The instruments are going to play. Just think about what I just wrote. We're not going to fear, even if everything dry falls off into the sea and it causes a horrible, torrential shaking to where the oceans foam. We're not going to fear. There is a river, verse 4. Above the clouds, there is a river. Over in Jerusalem, from the perspective of the Psalms, there's a river. The streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Talk to us. Talk to us, sons of Korah. Talk to us about that beautiful place where there's a river and streams and a glad city. God's in the midst of her, verse 5. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Now, we get some of the background. Why is the land slipping into the sea? Why are the waters roaring? The heathen raged, verse 6. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. We're told that the reason the waters are troubled is because the earth slides off into them and the mountains are carried into the yonder sea. And why does that happen? Because why is the earth seemingly melting, verse 6? Because the heathens raged, the godless lifted their fists to the heavens, and God responded, and the earth melted. And the waters were troubled. Is this your God? Is this your God? Do we share the same God tonight? And so the ones that said we will not fear, Because everything inside of our wonderful city has rivers and streams that make us glad. This is not meant for you. The sons of Korah did not get a vision of heaven. They're telling you what the city of the righteous is like. Brothers and sisters, tonight you and I are the city of the righteous. And within us is peace and joy and tranquility. Why? Because everything is fine? No. Irma says the waters are roaring. We will not fear. We will not fear because we have decided not to fear. We will not fear because the waters that are roaring are a result of the speech of God. Everything that takes place tonight takes place because God says so. Hebrews 1:3 upholds all things by the word of his power. All things happen because God says so. Colossians 1:18, by him all things consist. You and I are still making up what looks like the molecular structure of human beings because God says so. We take in our next breath because the creative God, the God of creation, says so. And the sons of Korah in Psalm 46 say, come on back. Don't give God the credit just for the good things. You give him credit for the roaring seas. You give him credit for the waters that are troubled, verse 3. You give him credit. In verse 6, the heathen raged. And even now we're brought to ourselves. We have unsaved people on this last Sunday being called to prayer by our president. And I promise you they prayed. But make life good. Give them back their American dreams. Give them their two-car garages and their vehicles that start. And they will again rage against the God of heaven. And in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. Why do we not fear? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Now, here is the teaching point tonight. Now, I might ramble a lot, but I'm not doing it now. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Hey, the works of the Lord. The works of Jehovah God. The works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in sunder, burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. Which heathen? The heathen that raged, verse 6. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth where there was earth, where there isn't earth, where the waters are roaring, where the streams are making glad the city of God. I own it all, Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's. Yes, and the fullness thereof, even the roaring seas. And he says in verse 11 what he said in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Let me first of all be very clear about what I cannot say out of this passage. I am not saying that Hurricane Irma is taking place because of a mudslide. Of course I'm not. Clearly that is what the psalm is saying. And yet I will also tell you that what is true tonight, brothers and sisters, is that just as the movement of the earth, the dry land, and the waters are the workings of God in this psalm, so you can rest assured that the movement of the waters is God's doing tonight. We don't have to have all the mysteries figured out. But you can rest assured that our timeless God has some things that are absolutely true about him in this psalm. And that is that the roaring waters can be given to him. He takes credit for the streams in the city of God. And he takes credit for the roaring waters out among the heathen. Yes or no? He can handle the credit. So what is true is that if God is in charge of the waters, and what is also true for you and I tonight is that we can choose not to fear. And then after we choose not to fear, we are freed up mentally, emotionally, spiritually, socially, cognitively, all the big words, psychologically. We are freed up to do what verse number 8 says, to watch God work. There is a connection in this psalm, I think you would agree, between the actions of the heathen and the roaring of the water. Do you see the connection? We've been talking about it for 10 minutes. Surely you must see the connection. And if it's true that the roaring of the water is God's work, and if it's true that you and I are going to make a choice not to fear, and if it's true that all of this is God's working, then we can say with great assurance, God is not just watching, God is working. God is not just waiting, God is working. God is not just wandering around, God is working. God is not just whispering through His Word, God is working. He is always working. And I want you to know what God is doing chiefly in His work. So let's look at Romans chapter number 8 and see some parallels. Let's take a look at Romans 8. Go there with me. Now, I want to show you some things in this passage in Romans chapter number 8. Are you still with me? Say amen. It is the word of the Lord. You need to know, I'm going to tell you something, I hope your preacher never hears it. He is well known. And any little pipsqueak like me that gets up here has to get up here knowing you've heard about everything. And all I have to offer you tonight is grace and truth from God's word. And I have a little history behind me that tells me that's enough. I bless the Lord. Romans chapter 8, you've seen some of these verses. I know you've seen verse 18. I know you've seen verse 28. I know you've seen verse 26. I know you've seen verses 38 and 39. But I want you to see something else. Verse 18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How many of you are looking forward to the time when everything you're enduring here is hardly a memory? I mean, on the other side of the shore, you're going to be thinking back to whatever it is that you went through today and you thought it cannot get any worse, and you're going to think, what was that again? Not worthy to be compared. Blows my mind. 60, 70, 80 years. I talked to the dear sister in Christ, that a member of my church who was married to a pill for 60 years. Obviously, she's a little bit older than that. And I thought about, can you imagine living with someone who was almost impossible for 60 years, and on the other side of the shore, looking back, and you've got to struggle from heaven's shore. You have to struggle to even remember the struggle of 60 years. What a day. That'll be fantastic. Verse 19, the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. You, brothers and sisters, and I, who have believed on Christ and are saved by faith, we are sons of God and are therefore heirs according to the promise. We can't get any richer than we are. It will be quite evident when we wake up in glory land just exactly how much of a pauper we were here and how rich, unspeakably filthy, slapping, sloppy, rich we are once we wake up in heaven. Joint heirs, Romans 8:15, with Christ. Everything that Jesus gets, we get. Everything that He inherits, you and I get. Brothers and sisters, He can't love us any more than He loves us, and He can't endow us with riches any more than He already has. All the richness of God has been poured out to us through Christ. Oh my goodness, what a position. In Christ. Wow. And soon we will be sharing the glory of God. Paul says, verse 19, just wait. I know you can't believe it, but your earnest expectation won't be long. You'll be manifested in glory, Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Yeah. 1 John 3:2, we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Right? Isn't this good? So verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. So here's the connection between our cursed world and the sin of our great, 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 great granddaddy Adam. We were told in Genesis chapter 3 that because Adam sinned, the earth changed just like that. Right? Now, don't let me lose you. I know it's Wednesday. Many of you worked all day and you're tired, but hang with me. In Leviticus chapter 18, we're still in Romans 8. In Leviticus chapter number 18, God said, if you don't obey my commands, and if you do adopt the practices of the Canaanites, the land will vomit you out. The promised land would act in a way as if it had a personality, and it would vomit the Israelites out of it. I don't know how to explain that. But do you know how to explain that Cain's blood was crying from the ground? Do you? Somehow the earth was speaking to God, crying out. The blood of Cain, we're told in Genesis 3, was crying out. Do you believe that? I don't understand it, but the earth reacted in a certain way, and somehow, the Lord said in Genesis 3, somehow the earth would now bring thistles, and Adam would no longer be productive in his work the way that he was. Can you imagine when the curse is removed and you and I are working for God in the temple of heaven, that we actually get proportional fruit for our labor? We've never had that before. This will be fantastic. But until then, the earth is acting like it's filled with a bunch of sinners. Okay, that's biblical theology. We're showing you this. This happens continually through the scripture. Again, I'm sure you've heard this before, but in verse 20, he says that creation is acting the way it is because of the actions of a man. Verse 21, the creature also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Look here, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. The earth is groaning, and the waters are foaming, and the Lord, he's working. Well, what is he doing? He's working, I get that. What is he doing? He's watching, he's waiting, he's walking, he's whispering, but he's working. What is he doing? Creation appears to be working without him. So how is it that this is both the work of God and creation seemingly acting in response to the sin of man who lives upon it? So all of creation is waiting, verse 23. We ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. All of creation is hooked to the fallenness of man. All of it. And that is, by the way, just by the way, sidebar here, this is why we know the earth is not billions of years old. This is why we don't believe in a gap theory. This is why we don't believe in a day-age theory. We believe in a literal creation week, because the signs of death that are supposedly millions of years old can be no older than Adam's sin. See how that works? Again, I know this is not new material for you. It's just a refresher. We'll call it a refresher. But what about this, Paul? Paul is speaking about the seeming disorder of creation, links it to the sin of man. Are you still with me? I don't want to lose you. Links it to the man and his sin, you and I, In other words, what is now is because of the overwhelming sinfulness of man. And I will not fall into the temptation right now of chasing all kinds of rabbit's trails about those so-called tribes somewhere throughout the earth that are just begging for the gospel. We're told in Romans 3, no one is begging for the gospel. We're all fallen short. None seeks after God. We're all together filthy. There's none that does good. Not one. So, why are the waters foaming? Because God is working. Okay, all right. This is not new. We didn't just drift off into the New Testament and find a new God. What kind of work is being done? Verse 28. And we know that all things. Do you believe that? That is phenomenal. My heart trembles when I read those two words. After what I read in verse 20, 21, and 22. All things work together for good to them that love God. That work together is that Greek word, I know, synergy. Y'all ever heard that word? Synergy. God is taking this and this and this and this and putting it together and producing a product. Right. Part of the this is the foaming seas, the works of the Lord of Psalm 46. Some of this is the raging of the heathen. All things work together for good. And then this is typically where the t-shirt and the bumper sticker and the hashtag end. But the verse continues, doesn't it? It qualifies it. All things work together for good to them that love God, not the heathen that rage, the lover of God. All things work together for good to the lover of God, who experiences the foaming waters, the raging seas, mostly everyone. Who is it for in the working together? The one who loves God. The one who, the end of verse 28, is the called according to his purpose. All right, I want to know what that means. You should too, right? Come on, let's read this like it's the first time you've ever read it. It's so amazing. Let this word of God minister to you like it just came off the press. Verse 29, we're about to read his purpose. Why does it matter? Because it is the product that all things have been synergized to produce for you. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Conformed to the image of his Son. Conformed to the image of his Son. That is why all things are worked together, so that all lovers of God will look more and more like Jesus. Do you think the heathen will understand that? No chance. Their eyes are blinded. They rage against God. They have no appreciation for the things of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:13, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them for their spiritually discerned. But wait just a minute. Is the purpose of God, hang on, does the purpose of God end with you, brother, looking like Jesus? No. End of verse 29. That he, the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. God gets the most glory out of many people looking like Jesus. And this is the end state of all those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. How important are you, child of God? How important is the purpose of God in you? That even the approaching storms of the raging seas will be worked together for some believer somewhere to look more like the sun. This is not a new theme. John 5, Jesus heals a man at Bethesda, five porches, right? Been laid there for 38 years. I wonder, how in the world do you allow yourself to lay somewhere 38 years? There's something wrong there, but we don't have time to dance around that passage. I want you to think about verse 17, where Jesus encounters people that are angry that a man was healed on the Sabbath day. In John 5:17, Jesus says, from here up till now, hitherto till now, up until this moment, the Father is working. Do you remember that? And Jesus says, so I work. Now think back to Genesis. Are you still with me? All right, I'm going to keep going here. Back in Genesis, he creates the day or the light on day one, and it ends with the evening and the morning were. The second day creates the firmament, separates the waters below and above the firmament, ends the day with the evening and the morning were. Day three, the dry earth arises out of the water, and he says the day three ends, the evening and the morning were the third day. And the fourth day, we find it ends after the sun, moon, and stars, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. The fifth day, the fish and the fowl, and it ended with the evening and the morning of the fifth day. On the sixth day, he created man and woman, it says. He made male and female on the sixth day. He created man in his own image, and all creeping things, all land dwellers, he created them on the sixth day, and the evening and morning of the sixth day. Genesis 2, verse 1, thus the works of God were finished, the heavens and earth were finished, and God rested on the seventh day. And we have no conclusion that says, and the evening and the morning were the seventh day. Not a single, you know that, right? That means God is still on his creation sabbatical. God is working on his creation sabbatical, John 5:17. So Jesus says, I can work on the Sabbath too. God the Father has been working ever since. And what has he been doing? God, what have you been doing? I've been taking this awful thing in the world, that awful thing in the world, this horrible thing that you can't believe happened to you, this ridiculous thing that happened to you when you were 4 years old, and I've been synergizing them to make you look like Jesus. I can't give you the complete answer for why any hurricane approaches us. But one of the reasons, if not the very chiefest of reasons, is because God desires to have his son, the firstborn among many brethren, and to do that, he has to conform many, many people to the image of his son. And they are God lovers and called ones. This happens all through the scripture. Philippians 1, he who began a good, say a little louder, he who began a good will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What kind of work is it? It's the work that he started before the foundation of the world in his called ones, when he had redeemed them and conformed them to the image of the Son. Are y'all with me? And he is still doing the work. And then we get to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't that something? That one of those verses is quoted all the time by the people who think you have to work for your salvation. In the very next verse, it says, and if you do anything good, it's because God's doing it through you. Brothers and sisters, God is not passive. God is not wondering what to do next. God is not hoping this thing works out. God is working. He's not just watching. He's not just waiting. He's not just wafting. He's not just wondering. He's not just willy-nilly. He is working. He is right now, working. Bette Midler as wrong can be, God is not watching us from a distance. God is in our boat. And He is able at any time to stand up and make the waves run. But until He does, He's working. The altars are open if you need them. My great Lord, I pray that You'd glorify Yourself. I pray that You'd